Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
1 minute past six, we in conversation now with Jan Vermeulen, editor at My Broadband. This as we take a look at expectations for cryptocurrencies in 2025 and look back at what happened in 2024. 2024 has been a pivotal year for crypto globally and here in South Africa, from regulatory shifts to the rise of innovative blockchain applications and changing investor sentiment. The crypto landscape has been marked by both challenges and opportunities. What exactly are they? Jan Vermeulen, a very good evening to you.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's start with the projections. There has been optimism, especially with the entry of Donald Trump back into White House politics, and we know how he favors cryptocurrencies. The optimism, should it be tempered, or should people really believe that there's a lot of room to grow here?
I think people can be optimistic, but I have a different view on this. I don't think Donald Trump or anyone in the White House really has much of an impact on the what we the price action, as it were, that we're seeing in Bitcoin, especially right now. We see, it might have an impact on the sort of extent of the mania that we might see, depending on, what the macroeconomic factors are, or who's in the White House, or, China's approach to Bitcoin mining, whatever the case might be. Those can have little influences on the price action. But really, this is something we've seen play out every 4 years. The Bitcoin cycle happens to be aligned with U.S. election cycles, but actually it's built right into the protocol. It's a four-year cycle that's built into Bitcoin. It's called the halving, and it's essentially every 4 years, roughly. Not 4 years exactly. It's not like the Olympics or a World Cup or anything like that. But it's roughly every 4 years, based on the block time of Bitcoin, which is Bitcoin tries to maintain a 10-minute block time, and then it counts a set number of blocks, and that set number works out to roughly every 4 years. The Bitcoin reward for mining a block of transactions halves. And so right now, the block reward is, I think, 3.125 Bitcoin. That halved in April, I think it's around April last year, from 6.25. And that is going to keep happening every 4 years. And that's what's causing these huge boom and bust cycles that we're seeing in Bitcoin. And who's in the White House has very little impact on that. And so, I think there's room for optimism, because we are now heading into a boom cycle. And where exactly the price of Bitcoin ends up, I am unwilling to speculate on. Only the fates know.
But are you expectant of a bigger or greater bouquet of cryptocurrencies coming onto the market?
Yeah, we're already at so many, but yeah, it's become so easy to launch your own cryptocurrency. I expect there will be tons more, almost none of which will be successful. That hasn't slowed down. While a lot of the hype has moved from blockchain to AI right now, I think that you'll see a lot of people trying to capitalize on that hype by launching AI-based crypto products and all kinds of other nonsense. That will definitely happen. Really, to me, the core and interesting stuff in cryptocurrency and blockchain technology is going to keep happening in the platforms that have become well established. So That's Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, Cardano, and we'll, you know, and maybe some other, you know, there's some interesting stuff happening in other types of projects like Arbitrum and Polygon. And, you know, maybe we'll see some interesting stuff happening in smaller projects like Phantom. But these are projects that have been going for years already. And while, yeah, every 4 years, part of the mania cycle includes a bunch of people trying to make their fortunes by launching tokens and coins and blockchain projects. Those are very speculative. Some of them, I'm sure, are going to make people very rich, but there's plenty. Most of them are going to fail.
And particularly that, the intangibility and uncertainty over Bitcoin has seen it come for some criticism and calls for even tighter regulatory landscape. Let's first look at the global picture and then come down here to South Africa, to its popularity, and also look at the user profile.
Those are a couple of different things. So what we've seen happening across the world, and in South Africa in particular, is crypto is being brought in line with our regular financial regulatory landscape, our regulatory infrastructure. It's been declared a financial product. Licenses have been created for crypto asset service providers. It's being regularized. And so the wild westness of the landscape is starting to go away. And so where it was very easy to dismiss crypto in general, just broadly, as a scam or as a fly-by-night thing or something that's going to vanish overnight, I think that's going away. I think people are starting to realize that actually, you know, Bitcoin is probably here to stay. And it would take something like a completely unforeseen event for Bitcoin to completely vanish off the face of the earth at this point. With the level of scams and crime and stuff that has been associated with Bitcoin, and let's be clear, there's plenty more crime being conducted with cash than there is with Bitcoin, but there's a lot of attention on Bitcoin because of its newness, because of the hype around it. And honestly, there is, one of the big selling points of something like cryptocurrency is the ease with which it can facilitate cross-border transactions. Mm. Probably the biggest industry that Bitcoin could disrupt is the global financial system with respect to SWIFT, international money transfers, because it completely undercuts those prices. If anybody who's ever needed to move money overseas and paid through their neck for it, when you compare that to the fees that you pay on a platform, whether it's more expensive platforms like Bitcoin or Ethereum, or really cheap platforms like Ripple and Solana and Phantom and whoever else, you look at that and go, why is SWIFT so expensive in this day and age? And so that's an industry it could disrupt today. The technology can do that today. There is naturally a lot of attention on its ability to facilitate cross-border fraud and money laundering and that sort of stuff, and yet, naturally. And that's why it had to be regularized.
And I want to just jump in on that. Well, there's obviously a lot of talk about defining the decentralization economy. I want to talk about Bitcoin's cryptocurrency's roles, but particularly when there is still issues around sustenance and value over the long term.
Sure. I can understand why people might be concerned about the sustainability of it. Famously, during the last Bitcoin hype cycle in 2020 and 2021, there was suddenly a lot of concern over how environmentally unfriendly it was, and how much power it uses, because of the amount of computing power Bitcoin miners require. And I think artificial intelligence is roundly going to beat this. I think people are quickly seeing that there was definitely a double standard being applied here, because I've yet to see the outrage over the amount of energy that artificial intelligence is requiring. There's still just a whole lot of optimism and hype around it, but the graphics cards and the graphics hardware and other compute power that artificial intelligence is consuming is rapidly going to dwarf crypto. But that said, so that's one angle of sustainability, is the environmental impact, right? So, and also during the last cycle, Ethereum switched away from what they call proof of work to a proof of stake style system. And so it no longer requires the incredibly energy intensive mining that Bitcoin uses. And so you're seeing that kind of thing happening across the crypto industry as well. And so that's one aspect of sustainability. The other one, I guess, is, if you've put money into Bitcoin or another cryptocurrency, that value fluctuates a lot. And yes, that is still going to happen for a while. And that's a boon for people who are thriving and profiting off of the volatility. But also that volatility is eventually going to go away, as part of what drove that volatility is this 4-year halving cycle, where the supply of new Bitcoins being created literally halves overnight. And as the Bitcoin approaches its maximum volume of 21 million, and to put that in context, right, the vast majority of Bitcoins have already been mined out. I think we're standing now at almost 20 million Bitcoins that exist today, and there will only ever exist 21 million Bitcoins. So we're in the Bitcoin endgame with regards to supply and volume. And so that means the volatility is eventually going to exit the market as people become comfortable with the 4-year cycle, as the halving has less of an impact on the fees being generated by mining a block of transactions. That volatility will eventually vanish. And so while there'll still be price action, it won't be nearly as swingy as it is now. And I think people will be far less concerned about using something like Bitcoin as either a store of value or as an investment, for folks who can't stomach that volatility. For people who have been able to stomach that volatility, they've seen outsized gains in their investments over the past 8-12 years.
Okay. And just very briefly, around the regulatory environment, and whether to the good or the bad, you can answer the question from the premise of we know that access to some products remains fragmented. So the disparities there, how do you see that playing out, particularly in South Africa?
Sure. Just to make sure we're on the same page, when you're talking about the access to certain products, what are you talking about there specifically?
So, if you look at, for instance, UK retail investors unable to access spot Bitcoin ETFs due to regulatory barriers there imposed by the Financial Conduct Authority,
right,
that type of thing.
Yeah. So this is something regulators have to be careful of, and something where the regulatory environment in South Africa has been a bit of a mixed bag. So let me illustrate what I mean there. So on the one hand, we've been quite progressive in the way that we've been regularizing crypto asset service providers, but we've been quite backwards with our exchange controls. So, for example, you cannot buy cryptocurrency from a foreign exchange using your credit card in South Africa right now. You can go to a local exchange. You can go to the regular Luno, Valor, and ones with a local presence. I think Binance is one example. You can go to any one of those with a local presence and use your credit card and buy from them, no problem. But if you want to use your credit card to buy crypto from a Kraken or another international exchange, that's now suddenly illegal because they've decided to lean on the horribly out-of-date exchange control laws here in South Africa to just outright ban it, which I'm sure the local guys really appreciate, but which I think crypto enthusiasts in South Africa find is a needless restriction. And so this is something that one has to be careful of as a regulator around the world. If you make the regulations too onerous, innovation in the cryptocurrency and the blockchain space will leave your country and go someplace where it is not onerous. And that kind of regulatory arbitrage, we've seen itself play out in the tech industry. It's part of what allowed Mark Shuttleworth to make his millions by launching Thought here in South Africa and selling it to VeriSign all those many years ago, is because the American regulatory environment outlawed strong encryption technology. And so he just launched it here from South Africa, where there were no strong regulations around that. And he was able to essentially exploit regulatory arbitrage to make himself a millionaire. And that the regulators need to be careful about chasing away innovation in a thriving and nascent new technology because of fear. It has to be handled more smartly than that. Right. And so, yeah, the spot Bitcoin ETF is the ETFs is one concern. That's also not something that we have in South Africa. But also, you don't need an ETF to invest in crypto. Although I understand that some people like that security, and so it is a nice thing to have.
Yeah, and thank you very much for your time, which we had more to cover some of the ground that I'm sure some of our listeners would like to hear. But much appreciated, Jan Vermeulen.
My pleasure.
Editor at My Broadband, just speaking to us about current trends and expectations for crypto in 2025.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.